is I would like to ask the question, do I really need Jesus? Do I really need Jesus? Last week, if you were able to be with us, we looked at the idea of why do I need Jesus? And I'm not going to re-preach the sermon. You can go online and listen to it. But the basic conclusion was this. We must notice the water, realizing that only Jesus can give spiritual life. We ourselves are like a fish in water, but the last thing the fish ever notices is the water. And we are surrounded by spirit. We are surrounded by right and wrong, righteousness and evil, good and evil. We are surrounded by spirit. And what we must do is see the spiritual reality of this life. And once we do so, then we'll see, of course I need Jesus, because only He can quench my spiritual thirst. But this morning I would like to get perhaps just a bit more practical this morning than last week. And I'd like to ask just a very practical question. Do I really need Jesus? Do I really need Jesus? I will say in my studies that I've had with non-Christians, normally this is the objection I hear, rather than a more intellectual concern about Jesus. Expressed another way, this question goes like this. Can't I just be a good person? Can't I just be a good person? I don't break the law. Yeah, I may speed every once in a while, but everyone does that. I don't cheat on my wife. I've not murdered anybody. I don't lie. I try to be an honest person. Do I need all this Jesus stuff? Do I really need the Bible? Do I really need religion? Do I really need church? Do I really need all of this? And normally these studies go one of two ways. On the one hand, someone will see the water and see the spiritual need for Jesus. Or on the other hand, we'll just depart and say, no, I'm a good person and that's all it takes. I would like to address my approach to this question. This is a question that I have tried to deal with personally in my own life. I will admit to you, days that I am just burnt out of all this religion stuff, this is what goes through my mind. Yes, I've sinned. Don't misunderstand. I've sinned, and I know that. But when I compare myself to most of these people in this world, go to downtown Louisville on a Friday night, I'm not that bad. Can't I just be a good person? Do I really need Jesus? Well, I would like to actually go to Jesus this morning and look at a parable that He tells of two men and seek to understand how this story answers this question for us. So we're going to try to answer a 21st century question using a first century text. Let's go to the text. Luke 18, verse 9. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So in this story, we read of two men. We read of a Pharisee and a tax collector. You'll notice in verse 10 what they're both doing. Two men went up to the temple to pray. So here they're similar in their destination. They're both going to the temple to pray. Both have some, divine longing within them. But these two men are as different from night and day. I want to read back through the story. Notice what the Pharisee says and does. Notice what the tax collector says and does. Verse 9. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The Pharisee, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like these men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get. But the tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. So let me ask this question, reading back through it. Who was justified? You'll notice it says in verse 14, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. Which man? Which man goes to his house justified? I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. Perhaps there's a bit of ambiguity here for us to understand the spiritual point. Now, let me explain this word justified. This is a religious word. We don't talk about justification outside of the religious context. The word justified just means being seen or made righteous, being announced righteous by God. That's the basic definition of being justified. So here's what he's saying. One man is righteous, that is right in God's sight. One man is unrighteous, that is not right in God's sight. Which man is seen as right in God's sight? Rhyme intended. Well, let's understand these two men a bit more depth. Let's start with the Pharisee. Was this man seen as right in God's sight? I see head shaking. Very good. No, absolutely not. This man was not right in God's sight. Look at Luke 18 again, verse 9. Jesus told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and treated others with contempt. Anytime you notice a parable of Jesus, always look at the context. There's always an audience that he is addressing that helps us to understand who he's addressing. You remember with me a few weeks ago, this parable of the prodigal son? That has nothing to do as much with the younger son as much with the older son. You have to see the context. Here, this story is not about the tax collector. It's really about the Pharisee. Who is Jesus addressing? He addressed some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. How can I say this using 21st century terms? I'm a good person. They trusted in themselves that they were righteous. I'm a good person. And look what he says. Verse 9. Verse 10. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One a Pharisee. A Pharisee, by the way, if you're not familiar with the term, a Pharisee was a sect of early Jews during the time of Jesus. So think of them as the most hyper-religious people of the age. These are the quote-unquote Jesus freaks of the first century. These are the hyper-religious, super devout, ultra-conservative religious zealots of the day. So there's two men, a Pharisee and a tax collector. Verse 11. The Pharisee, the religious man, if I may say, standing by himself, prayed thus, God, I thank you that I am not like these other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even this tax collector. I'm a good person. I'm not that bad. I even, verse 12, fast twice a week and I give tithes to all that I get. This Pharisee saw himself as a good person. But what's his problem? Verse 14, as we've read, I tell you, this man went to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. What's Jesus saying? Here, this Pharisee is exalting himself. He is trusting in his own righteousness. He's trusting in his own standard of goodness. And by his own account, I am a good person. But from God's perspective, what's the problem with this? Look with me at Romans chapter 10. Stay in Luke 18, but look at Romans chapter 10 with me. Look at Romans chapter 10. If I may go back to our analogy from last week, this man, when he began to glimpse the water, He didn't see his soul as thirsty. He saw his soul as complete. He thought he was fine based on what he was doing. Romans chapter 10, verse 1. Brothers, my heart's desire in prayer to God before them is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For rather being ignorant of the righteousness of God, again, notice that, being ignorant of the righteousness of God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for everyone to everyone who believes. What's the problem here? They did not know of God's righteousness, but they sought to establish a righteousness based on their own selves. What did they say? I'm a good person. I'm a good person. Now, let's see what Jesus would say about this man. Here you have the Pharisee, who when he looks at everyone else around him, he says, I'm better than they are. I'm not as bad as they are. I'm a good person. But what does Paul tell us in Romans 10 this man should have done? Being ignorant of God's righteousness, they became righteous unto themselves. Rather than looking up for their standard of righteousness, they looked around for their standard of righteousness. Again, this Pharisee, rather than looking up for his standard of righteousness, he looked around. And if we're like the Pharisee, I'm sure that every single one of us here this morning, we could find thousands of people in Louisville that we are probably morally better than. But you know what the problem with that is? The standard of my righteousness is not based on other people's goodness or badness. The standard of my righteousness is God's righteousness. And when I compare myself to my Creator, when I compare myself to my God, when I compare myself to the Holy One of Israel, what am I? I mean, really, what am I? I'm certainly not a good person. If anything, I'm nothing. I compare myself to the might of God, I'm weak. I compare myself to the holiness of God, I'm unholy. I compare myself to the glory of God, I am regular. I compare myself to the righteousness of God, I'm a sinner. We must not look around us for our standard of righteousness, but we must look to God for our standard of righteousness. And so then in the case of this Pharisee, he was not right in God's sight, because he thought himself to be a good person. Before we continue and we look at the tax collector, may we draw our lessons from this Pharisee. Brethren, I will admit to you, the Pharisee condemns me the way I've been in my life. There was, especially in my past, I would say especially around my teenage years, I had this standard of righteousness based on works, of if I was just good enough, if I was great enough, if I did enough, then I'm going to be better than everybody else and right in God's sight. That's this Pharisee. That is why the promise rests on faith, not works. We'll talk about that in a second. But we must never think that we are justified in God's sight because we're a good person. If I think I'm justified in God's sight because I'm good, or I can say it another way, I think I'm justified in God's sight because I'm not that bad, we have completely missed the whole gospel message. Rather than looking to the Pharisee, what we need to do is we need to look to the tax collector. Now, you understand the irony of this. Jesus is holding up a tax collector as the standard of righteous pursuit. Now, even for us, we understand that's laughable. You would never hold up the IRS as an example of anything, never of efficiency, never of wisdom, never of knowledge, and certainly never of righteousness. But here we are going to hold up a tax collector as the standard of righteous pursuit. Why? Look at the text, verse 13. The tax collector, standing far off, would not even lift his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. When the tax collector approaches the temple, what does he do? He does not approach the temple to pray, saying, I am not that bad, I'm a good person, but rather what does he say? I'm a bad person. I'm a bad person. He would not even lift his eyes up to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Why? Because he did not look around for his standard of righteousness. He looked up. In this man, you can just imagine him looking up, gazing up to heaven, thinking of the glory of God, thinking of the grandeur of God, thinking of the holiness of God, thinking of the justice of God, thinking of the wrath of God, thinking of the love of God, thinking of the grace of God, and being overwhelmed with the very nature of God, and lowering his eyes to the earth and just saying, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. When I compare myself to my God, I am nothing but a sinner. Nothing but a sinner. My God is all holy, I am sinful. My God is all good, I am not. My God is all just, I am flawed. My Creator, the one who made my very hands, is perfect. I am flawed and weak and laughable in so many ways. If I may say it another way, based on last week, when he saw the water, he knew I'm thirsty and he needed living water. He saw the water, he noticed the water, and then he saw his own soul is thirsty and knew he needed a righteousness not of his own self. So what then does he do? Verse 14, I tell you, this man went to the house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. The one who is right in God's sight is not the one who exalts himself. It is not the one who thinks himself to be a good person. It is not the one who says, I'm not that bad. But it is the one who humbles himself, who says, I am a bad person, who says, I am thirsty. Go to Romans 3 with me. Romans chapter 3. It amazes me. Jesus, the wisest and most skilled of orators to have ever lived, preached the whole message of the book of Romans in about 6 verses. Luke 18, 9 through 14, it is Romans in a nutshell. It's really neat. I wish I had time to talk about it more. But look at Romans 3, verse 9. What then? Are Jews any better off? I'm going to put a couple words in here. Allow me. What then? Are religious people any better off? No, not at all. For we have already charged that all, both the religious and sinners, are under sin. As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. When I look around, I may claim, no, I'm not that bad. But when I look to God's righteousness, I'm a sinner. I'm a sinner. And each of us must be introspective. We must look inward and understand what the gospel call and God's righteousness is for us. When I look at God's glory, when I look up and see Him, I then look inward and I see myself a sinner. When I look up and I see God's love, I see myself as weak. When I look up and I see God's grace, I look at myself and see myself as undeserving. That's how the tax collector saw himself, and that's how we must see ourselves. And brethren, you know what the really paradox of this story is? It's not the religious person who's justified. It's not the good person that's justified. It's not the one who's not that bad who's justified. It's the sinner who's justified. It's the wicked man who's justified. It's the unrighteous who's justified, because he knows where to go for the true standard of righteousness. It's not from within, but it's from above. And the only way that I will ever achieve the righteousness of God, the God who made me and the God before whom one day I will stand in judgment, is to look to Him. So practically then, what are we to do? Who is righteous? Who is really righteous? Well, who's right in God's sight? I think we first understood, going back to Luke chapter 18. Go with me back to Luke chapter 18. I tell you, this man went to his house justified. Now we can answer our question. Who is this man? The tax collector was justified. The sinner was justified. The unrighteous was justified. The religious man was not justified. Again, it is not that I think I'm all great that I come to Jesus. It's not that I think I'm all perfect that I come to church. It's not that I think I'm all wise that I come to God. It's the exact corollary of that. It's I know I'm sinful. I know I'm weak. I know I've sinned against my holy God, and therefore I need Him. Very personally, I need Him because I've sinned against my God. What then's the solution? Once I look inward and see, once I'm introspective and see, yes, I am a sinner, what then do I do? I would urge you again, look at context. Look at the context of this story to see what it's really about. Luke 18, verse 8. Luke 18, verse 8. This is right before the story we read. Luke chapter 18, verse 8. I tell you, He will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? When the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on earth? You know what's interesting about this? If I had probably gone around and asked y'all, put in a line about what you think this story is really about, perhaps you would have said humility, repentance, you know, God's righteousness even. This parable is actually about faith. Why? Go with me back to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. Again, the parable of the tax collector and the Pharisee, this is really a parable about faith. The one who will be justified in God's sight, it has something to do with faith. Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by God by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Why does the promise of Abraham given now through Jesus Christ rest on faith, not works? Because by my own works I could never be justified in God's sight. I will never be good enough. I will never be great enough. I will never be perfect enough by my works to be justified in God's sight. Period. End of discussion. Romans 3 verse 9. None is righteous. No, not one. By my own might, by my own strength, by my own works, I will never be justified in God's sight. Who then is justified? Who is right in God's sight? The one who is of faith. Why? Again, it's faith in God's grace, but why is it those of faith who are justified? Go down to verse 6. For while we were still, notice this word, weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. Notice the sarcasm there. But God shows His love for us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It is not by my own might that I will be justified in God's sight. It's not by my own greatness. It is not by my own strength. But it is by putting my faith in the Son of God who died for my sins. It is by putting my trust in the very Son of God who died upon Calvary for my wickedness. It is by putting my belief, my allegiance, my all in Jesus of Nazareth, the very Son of God, that God will then justify me in His sight. So who then is righteous? Those of faith. So let me ask you, are us churchgoers better than all the unchurched? Are those of us who perhaps live better moral lives than the drug addicts better than them? Are those of us who've never cheated on our wives better in God's sight than those who have? Are those of us who've never murdered better than the convict who's wasting his life away in a federal prison? None is righteous. No, not one. No, the weight of my sins may not be as great as some, and perhaps even the number of my sin is not as great as some, but you know what? I, Ryan, am a sinner. And it is only when I am like the tax collector who looks down to the ground and beats my breast, God be merciful to me, the sinner, that then by faith in the atoning blood of Jesus, God will justify me. So let me again ask the question. Do I really need Jesus? Do I really need Jesus? If you're the Pharisee, you don't. You're great in your own eyes. But if, like the tax collector, you see yourself as you really are, a sinner in God's sight, then it's not, do I really need Jesus? But it's, how quickly can I come to Him? Get out your songbooks, please. So let me ask y'all this. Why did I decide to come to Jesus? Why did I decide to come to Christianity? Why did I decide to come to His church? Was it because of my works of greatness, my works of righteousness, my own might, my own perfection, my own glory, my own greatness, my own grandeur? Oh, no. The reason I came to Jesus was I'm a sinner and I need forgiveness. God be merciful to me, the sinner. If you, like the tax collector, need to come to God this very morning, beating your breast as you proclaim to Him, God be merciful, come to the cross of Christ this very morning. Come.